91.3 FM Stereo.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of God, the most merciful, be upon you always. Good afternoon. Welcome to Nurturing Wellness on the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. I'm your host, Mishka Daddies. Now, today on Nurturing Wellness, we're speaking about the men. Yes, you, the often neglected role of being a man, of being conscious and mindful of our emotions and of being in the present moment. And in studio with me today, I welcome Kopano Ratele, who is a professor at UNISA, a masculinity specialist and the head of the Center for Advanced Study of African Society. Kopano, good afternoon to you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Jackie Hadult also is with us in studio. He is a postgraduate psychology student. We'll give a little bit more information about Jackie a bit later on as well. Jackie, good afternoon to you.
Hey there.
Thank you for coming. And of course, Shahida Jansen, the manager of student counseling at the Center for Student Support Services at UWC, and her special area of interest, male-focused personal transformation. So, assalamu alaikum to you, Shahida.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. I'm looking forward to our discussion today, because today we're going to be defining some of the big myths that we have around, us. We're going to be speaking about masculinity, male inexpressiveness, and emasculation of men. And don't stress too much about the wording. We're going to be breaking it down. And if you've got any questions or comments for the show, you're welcome to SMS us on 47913. So that's 47913. So let's get right into it. I think when we think of men, we are thinking about strong, masculine men. You know, they can hold their own in the physical sense. All those muscles are there and the six pack and everything. But we never think of men, you know, and the emotions, and that men do actually have emotions, because men don't cry, you know. That's the one perception. So can I maybe start off, Kopano, with you? In your research, are males generally inexpressive of their feelings? And if so, why?
This is what research says. I mean, this is what global research says, not just South African research, that the men have, there's a technical term for it, alexithymia, I think they call it.
Alexithymia.
Yeah, that, okay. An inability to express tender emotions in particular. So there's that general perception around the world, and so in the last 5 years or so, I have been conducting studies around specifically love. And prior to that, the institute I work at, which is the Institute for Social, I used to work at Institute for Social and Health Sciences, and the violence unit at the Medical Research Council. We study men and violence. And of course, violence is attached to one particular kind of emotion, which is anger and aggression. So men are allowed to express that. But as I said, the last 5 years I've been looking at more tender emotions, and then with Shahid, of course, who's been doing this work, bringing together men to talk about that. Now, the one particular thing is this: this is how you start, and I want it to be. And of course, there's nothing wrong with men being muscular, being tough, carrying boxes, and doing hard kinds of work. From my own work and in discussion with Shahid in particular. And I think we agreed on this. We don't want to turn men into women.
No.
This is an important part. These are not women in drag. But we say, look, there's a lot of positive to be gained from being able to express all the emotions that human beings are capable of. Gratitude, joy, transcendence, all kinds of emotions that are important.
So, Shahida, let's go over to you, because I think Kopano mentioned something extremely interesting, that men do tend to express their feelings in the negative form in terms of anger. Can we possibly say hatred as well, in violence, etc.? But that the compassionate feelings, which we normally assume to the role of women, like the love part, the nurturing part, that's not something we discuss at all when it comes to men. Or do we, and we just neglect it afterward?
Yeah, there's something about definitions that we need to, and you promised the listeners that we're going to break things down. And one of the things that I think we need to break down are definitions of what is violence and what is aggression. And so I think that both genders have got full capacity and ability, and we see it all the time that we have male more physical and direct and more overt expressions of violence. And you find with women, when you get close, you have a far more nuanced and a more indirect way of expressing aggression and violence.
Okay.
And so it's something that is often less detectable, or like I always say to Kopano, because he's my army student, he's my PhD supervisor, and I say to him, well, we haven't developed sophisticated enough research methods and instruments to actually pick up and measure female aggression. So this is not about saying men are more aggressive than women or women are more aggressive. I think, again, is to expand on our definitions.
Okay.
And so that we speak in more balanced and coherent and holistic terms of both men and women. Because I operate from the assumption that men and women are two sides of the same coin, that we need each other and that we complement each other, and that society needs both genders. And so we need to start looking at the way we start also speaking about men and violence and aggression and women and violence and aggression.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Good point brought across there, and I think also it comes about that we've got the full spectrum of emotions, like Shada was saying, and it just, which is the one that is most, that comes to the fore at a specific time or a situation in our lives. So Jackie, I would love to bring you in here. So you are a postgrad psychology student. Have you done research, and I'm assuming you did, on masculinity? And in your opinion, you know, why are men fearful of going into the emotions?
Well, I think it's just one of those things where it's sort of like a polarity. It's like on the one end you have females, or you know, show the more softer side, you know, of you know, that sort of nurturing side when it comes to being around the family, and then on the other end you sort of have these you have men. Now, men, for some reason, you know, society has this idea where it's like, you know, if this group can be classified as such and such, then this group should be classified as something, you know, completely different. And I think because women sort of feel that they need to be more gentler, you know, more calm in those type of environments, you know, men have to sort of display something else, a more sort of aggressive approach, or, you know, that's what I feel. I feel that in that sense, it's become so accepted, you know, into our minds that it's almost as if, you know, men need to show these sort of, men need to show anger, around other people, because, it's sort of like, yeah. So, sorry,
it makes you almost like more brutish or more.
Yeah, it makes you sort of, it's like you need to be accepted into that sort of norm of thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think, it's a very complicated topic to talk about, because the thing is, men don't actually like talking about, you know, men don't actually like expressing their emotions in general.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, if you go to an outing or something like that with your friends and you start, you know, being depressed or, you know, being weak, you know, then, you know, you know, people question you, like, you know, what's wrong with you?
It's like,
you know,
having, I'm picturing over the braai, you know, these two men having a conversation. So how's your kids doing? You know, oh no, I struggle with them in the morning. They just don't want to get up. That's not the kind of conversations you guys have at all.
Yeah. No, it's not about showing emotion. You know, it's about sort of showing, you know, where you appear dominant, you know, in other aspects of your life. And, you know, your inability to your ability not to show any weakness whatsoever.
This is going to be an interesting discussion. Let's break for ads. When we come back, we're going to take your comments and questions, 47913. We're discussing today what can be quite a bit of words in the mouth, male inexpressiveness and emasculation of men, masculinity, etc. So do bear with us. We're going to be defining all of them as we go along. 47913 is the SMS line.
The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM stereo.
To Today on Nurturing Wellness, we are speaking to Kopano Ratele, who is a masculinity specialist and the head of the Center for Advanced Study of African Society, as well as a professor at UNISA. Jackie Hadult is a postgrad psychology student, and Shahida Jansen, the manager of student counseling at the Center for Student Support Services at UWC. And an area of interest is male-focused personal transformation. So yes, again, big words coming out there, but today we are debunking the myths of masculinity, male inexpressiveness, and emasculation of men. And before we go any further, maybe we should just look at that male inexpressiveness. You know, when we use that word, what do we mean by it? And, you know, what are the thoughts around being inexpressive? Are we just meaning, you know, we don't cry as men, or we don't talk about X, Y, and Z as men? What do we mean by male inexpressiveness? Shahida, they're all pointing to you.
And I'm outnumbered.
You're outnumbered, dear.
Okay.
The men have spoken.
Male inexpressiveness. I'm going to go back to definitions. So if you're going to measure men by female standards of expressiveness, you know, according to the female values hierarchy in terms of how we do emotions, or a lot of women, not all women,
yeah,
a lot of women, or what is written out up in the literature around how women make intimacy. We look at each other, we get close, we emotional, we expressive in a very verbal way, all right? Now, that's a good way of expressing yourself. Whether it's joy or you're expressing sadness, you know, that's a female way. Or particular cultures, you know, very direct, very intense, very warm, etc. And then you get colder cultures when they express themselves, they're more aloof, all right? Now, when I, as a clinical psychologist, for example, when I sit and I run men's groups, and these groups are specifically the purpose of that group, and we contract upfront, this is not a group about sorting out your partner, the wife. This is not a group about getting the children ducks in a row. This is about you and getting in touch with your inner world. So when I sit as a woman in these groups, and these are now men talking about the emotions, all of a sudden I see the men expressing emotions, and often even tender emotions, and they go into difficult, sensitive spaces. But then I noticed they do it a little bit differently to the way you would expect people deal with their tender emotions. So the guys may be going into a very sensitive issue and discussing, and then they crack a joke, and then there's kind of a very sort of manly thing that they do. So they do this emotion regulation in sort of a male way, but okay, they're dealing with their emotions in a particular context that has been made safe for them to deal with themselves. Because a lot of men will also say to you, I can't make myself just vulnerable anywhere. And he's right. He's having to protect himself. I mean, why must he just like cry or show emotions just because he now needs to prove that he's in touch with his inner what? You know, why does he need to? So I think we need to ask ourselves, what's the yardstick that we're using to measure male inexpressiveness?
So
even in the literature, when they talk about male inexpressiveness, I want to challenge that, given that the helping profession, universally, psychology, psychotherapy, social work, is feminized. And extremely so, you know, both in academia and in the clinical profession. It's feminized. So are we now starting to measure men by female standards, their expressiveness? I'm not saying they're not inexpressive. I'm not saying there isn't a problem. And I'm not saying men shouldn't attempt. Oh, that's my job. I'm a psychologist, and my special area is male personal transformation. That's what I wrote in the thesis. So I'm invested, obviously, in men, you know, getting close to themselves, but I'm also saying allow them to do it on their terms. Okay. Get out of the way sometimes. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Can I?
Please,
you know, one of the things I should say to the listeners, Being a teacher is something fantastic, being a university professor. Because one of the things I learn is from my students, and one of them being Shahid in particular, about what some of the things she just said. So, you know, the question is, for instance, in the last week I've been watching this clip from Fox News, but also last night I watched Analyze This. You might remember that movie. About precisely what she's saying, that how, if somebody asks, well, in that show on Fox News, somebody was saying, what do women know about men's emotions? I mean, this is a legitimate question.
That's a very legitimate question.
And, well, they dismiss it and all of that. But what I've learned from Shahid is precisely this, is if you are, she's been doing this for a long time, so if she's sitting there facilitating men to express themselves in these groups, how do they handle that? So she brings in me in because now we're transitioning from being a supervisor and student to being co-facilitators. And for this last year, and we're going to do a new one this year, watching and learning about what men do, and everything she says is I need to underline this. So she's talking about context, and what we started was this was so where the question is, where and when do men express or not express their emotions? Right, that's a really important question. It's about where. So when you have created a group of men that's safe, that you can express all the emotions about vulnerability, they will do it. But society, this is what Jackie was saying. Jackie was touched on this point about the word he used was expect, so meaning expectations, and also he mentioned norms.
Yes,
norms.
Yes.
So you can't avoid that. We live in a society, South Africa, but most of the world is like that. We expect men to behave in particular ways in public.
Okay.
But even in their families sometimes, we expect women and girls to behave in particular ways. And when girls show anger, we say, no, we can't handle girls' anger.
Mm-hmm.
Girls have to show the tender emotions. When boys cry quite a lot, at a certain point, when they're babies, it's still fine.
Yes.
Toddlers, they're fine. Mm. Maybe until, you know, primary school.
Primary.
As soon as they hit a particular age, maybe it's teenagehood, it varies. We expect them to toughen up in public, right? Mm. But when we're their mothers at home, we expect different kinds of emotions. So the question is where and when. The take home lesson is always this: create those spaces where men learn to express these other emotions. That this is an appropriate. So they take that from that space and they take it outside.
Mm.
So when men talk, you learn this from research, your own research. When men talk, when you say about, so what did you feel about that? They will say, I thought. So they move from the feeling to the thought in public. Right?
Yeah.
The feelings, because they're not used to that language of
I feel.
So you say, no, I didn't ask you about your thoughts. I said, how you felt about that. So you have to move from the head down to gut, to, but it's learning that in a safe space and taking that out. There's some moments you have to express joy, just joy and gratitude. You know, you don't feel entitled to being helped. You have to show gratitude.
All right, so a question that's come in. Remember that the lines are open on 47913. You can SMS us there. Can you tell us, or tell me why men is always so aggressive? The wives are too scared to talk to them, and some men is very moody when they're in the house with their own family, but when they are outside with other people, they laugh and talk. What's wrong with them? Shouldn't they be happy inside and outside the house? This is really sickening with some men. What can a woman do about it? Hope that there's a solution. Jackie, shall we ask Jackie to answer?
Sure.
If you don't mind, you're a man, so you're going to tell us what's the solution.
Okay, well, I haven't been married for long, so I don't necessarily have that much experience. But what I would sort of speculate is the fact that, you know, in the household, you know, men have a specific role, you know, especially when it comes to their family as well.
Mm.
You know, and that specific role is sort of the strength or I'd say the rock. You know, of the family, the foundation of the family, something that's not easily moved or, you know, sort of, something that shouldn't, something that shouldn't have weaknesses, you know, in it.
Yes.
So, you know, in a sense, men sort of don't show their emotions because of the fact that they feel they need to be seen as strong, you know, people who are very, emotionally intelligent, you know, people who don't break down easily. And, you know, I think, that's also, it's very important, you know, it's very important for the children specifically to also to look up at their fathers, you know, for that sort of strength. And, you know, like I was talking about, like the differences, you know, the barriers, you know, between males and females. Mm. One's very feminine and the other has to be seen as very strong and masculine. So in a sense, you know, you don't get that, you're not supposed to cross those two walls or those boundaries, you understand? So in a sense, man, you know, has to be strong, has to sort of lead the relationship. And, you know, because psychologically, you know, subconsciously, especially children actually take that in, you know, much more than people would actually expect.
Okay.
And that's why, you know, the sort of the role of the male is very important in today's society.
Mm.
So men, you know, it's very interesting because, you know, especially on what Kopana actually hinted on, what he actually spoke about was sort of, you know, where or the right place in which men actually express their emotions. And what you'll actually find is that when men get out of that sort of household, you know, where they're in, where they have to be strong and big, and sort of go over to the other side, you know, on Friday, they're spending time with the family, but on Saturday, you know, they're at the bar with their friends.
Okay.
And you'll see that there's a completely different change in emotions or, you know, in personality. They're having fun. They're more open. It's because they sort of, they don't necessarily have to sort of put on that robe, you know, of I have to be a man and I have to be strong. And, yes, they do at the bars and things like that, but, you know, I'd say it's more in a less serious environment, you know.
Mm.
So they sort of put down, in psychoanalytical terms, they destroy their defense or push away the defense.
Their defenses.
Yeah, and, you know, sort of enjoy that inner child, you know,
yeah.
or bring that inner child out. So, yeah.
Shaida, I'm going to bring you in here because you're a psychologist as well. So maybe you can hear it. But by the way, this question has come from Abdullah Harun Pik. He's asked this question and he's also adding to that in saying, do you think that a meek man when man was just hunters and doing hard physical work could be respected, get a wife or keep what is his? So in other words, he's saying back then in the day, if a man was meek and mild, he wouldn't necessarily do the hunting story and all of that. He wouldn't be respected as such.
Well, I don't know if I can answer the question, that question, but I think there was an SMS that you read out of the lady that asked about the men being so angry and aggressive and how to cope with the male anger and so on. Because I want to, in combination, pick up with where Kopana went about men have to find safe spaces, Kopana said, so that they can learn and become comfortable spaces that allows them to become all of who they are. All of us, this is a Muslim radio station, so the Islamic understanding of the self here is we are positioned between an angel and an animal. And so both men and women have got both angelic and animalistic impulses in ourselves, all of us.
Mm.
We're complex, yeah?
Mm.
So where do men first get that safe space to develop and nurture and manage, for example, their aggressive impulses? And this is for me now where the role of the father or the other men come in. Because men have to be socialized by other men, not necessarily the biological father.
Mm.
And so we need to, as societies, think about the fact that we're living in societies where men are invisible with high divorce rates and mass dysfunctions in family and breakups. We haven't seen this level of people being able to love and live together like we see today. And it's universal. We can fly to the moon, but we can't live with each other. All right. And so a lot of young boys are growing up not having a safe male that they can internalize, like the psychologists like to say. You need to internalize that man so that you learn, how do I manage my aggressive impulses?
You meaning basically through learning rough play with a male figure or... Just to clarify that point, Shahida, sorry to interrupt you.
Yes, precisely. Shahida's point is fantastic, and I've written this about this elsewhere, and you have just put it. You know, with my son, I right from get go, the mother plays doesn't play as rough with them.
Mm.
And then when I started reading and writing about this, I realized what. So if you're a father and you play rough with your kid, with boys or girls, mm. what they're learning from you are the limits of roughness.
Ah.
They learn that when you say, no, that was hard. That was a hard punch you did.
Yeah.
And you do this constantly to them. They start to regulate their own aggression. Because they don't know. Kids don't know how hard they hit you.
True.
And then you have to rough them up. And well, you don't have to, but this is one avenue where they start to learn that there's a difference between play and hurting each other. And because when you say, Dad, you just hurt me, you say, I'm sorry, you hug them and you restore that. Then they internalize this parent, this father who's caring, but who plays like you're not the mother. You are not the female bodied person who is the mother in the house. You are this person who's taller. Because naturally you're taller, you're bigger than naturally,
you've
generally.
You've got more power in your
body. That's it. So they learn at that moment about regulating their own power, their own strength, their own emotions, and what is acceptable and not acceptable.
Now, interesting.
Can I just continue that point that he's making? So analogously then for me as a woman in a men's group, because people are often fascinated by
why you're facilitating.
And you're facilitating a men's group, but what they forget is that there's a men's group. So the most powerful force in that setting are the men, is the male culture, not me as the facilitator. If you're a professionally trained group facilitator, you know that your role is on the periphery, not in the center, right? So what takes center stage in a men's group are the men. So as the clinician in the group, as the technician in that group, I facilitate the men engaging with each other and role modeling for each other, talking about my feelings, but I'm still a man, joking and allowing somebody to get quite, you know, tough with me or critical of me. And I can stand being criticized and I'm okay. I'm still a man. Mm. A man must see that role modeled by another man. And so I, as a woman or as a mother, I need to know my place. So I also need to step aside and I shouldn't get over involved.
Yes.
So it's about boundaries again and about the regulation of the roles between the mother and the father.
Let's leave it at that for now. We're going to take an ad break and we would love you to SMS us on 47913. We want to hear your thoughts, 47913. And today we're speaking about masculinity.
The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.
Welcome back to Nurturing Wellness on the Voice of the Cape. I'm your host, Mish Kadaris. Today, of course, on Nurturing Wellness, as this program is meant to be, looking at mind, body, and spirituality in all forms. So today, speaking about masculinity and also male inexpressiveness and the emasculation of men. So the SMS from Abdullah Harunpik has continued, and if you may grant me the permission to just read through it quickly, do you think a meek man, when man was just hunters and doing hard physical work, would be respected, get a wife, or keep what is his? It is built in default setting. I feel like it's the same as discipline of children, to hit or not to hit. The human race has come so far with men being like this. What would happen in the future if we men do not feel like it is broken? Then leave us or leave it, says the SMS. So can we have Shahida read answer, or shall we, or give Jackie? Jackie says no. He doesn't answer.
I think we have to underscore this. I don't think any one of us is saying, and I certainly am not saying that we want men to be meek. I mean, it's a really important thing, and this is where we started. Mm. But I certainly say, well, look, of course there are wars in Syria. The U.S. is having wars all over the world. South Africa has gone to Lesotho. There are wars, and people in this country are in the flats and everywhere in Khayelitsha, in other parts of South Africa, are killing each other. Mm. There's a whole lot of violence against women. Violence is unacceptable.
Yes.
That's it. But what we're saying, what I think part of what we're saying is in a society that does not allow men to express the full range of human emotions, but also doesn't allow women, by the way, but we talk about men. You have this, for men, you have precisely this problem of violence. Because we are not in a state of war where we don't hunt, we don't go out and kill tribes across the mountain or somewhere. We live in a society that demands, if we were fighting a war, we wouldn't be this kind of country. We would be a country like Syria. That's the point.
Yes.
And then you have the same sort of problem. So of more violence when Syrians go to Europe. So the point is, no, it's not about meekness, but it's essentially saying no to violence, because violence is tied into the inability to express the whole range of emotions because of the norms and the expectations.
And we also include in there, because the next SMS came about that, what about men swearing at kids and their girlfriends as well?
Yeah, we certainly. So look, that's precisely. Swearing, there's a simple thing. Swearing is many times, and again, this is research, swearing comes out of the inability to find the words to say what you want to do. That's it. That's as simple as this. So the more you learn to attach words to your emotions, the less you need to swear. But also you have to. But this is picked up, of course, by kids living in environments where everybody swears, right?
Yes.
And then to change that, it's no. If you are angry, say this. Don't hit. Say I'm angry.
Yes.
And this is what makes me angry. But the flip side is as important for me. Gratitude, and just briefly, because gratitude says this: if you are married. For people who are newly married, and one learns this over the years, because you learn from your students, from other people, from some men who have gotten together. When your wife cooks for you on Sunday, you know, you have a big Sunday lunch somewhere,
and she spends the whole morning in the kitchen,
and you eat, and then you just get up and leave without saying thank you. I mean, it's a simple thing. Gratitude is an emotion. You say thank you for feeding us. But of course, personally, from my own work, I said, well, help wash the dishes. That's even a better thank you.
Oh, that is the best thank you, actually. Okay, so now let's go into that, Jules, because you brought it up now, Kopano. Can wives and mothers emasculate men? And what does it mean? First of all, let's look at the word emasculation. What does it mean?
I don't know. Let Kopano is the academic.
Well, emasculation is a quite a negative word, but basically it means that you are taking away the man's masculinity, emasculate. So you are, if you will, to coin a phrase, demanning them. That, so you're feminizing them. You're making them into women, and but regardless about this word, what the problem? Yes. Yes, yes. And this is a very, very tricky conversation to have with my feminist friends, because when you say this, look, I mean, even people like bell hooks, the well-known African-American feminists, say this. There are women who hate men. I mean, it's not a secret. And there are women who are patriarchal women, right? So because, and this is not to blame all women or even some women, is to say, well, if you grew up in a family where your father was like that, were punishing, or your own mother did not like, they had their own experience, so they don't like men and males, you pick this up as a woman, and you grew up having either ambivalent feelings about exactly what nature of quote-unquote animal this man is, and boys are, and clearly you transfer it to your own children about, and you have problems with, because you were hurt, you might have some really violation might have happened into your life, you grew up in a family that doesn't quite know how to deal with, and unless you deal with your own emotions about, you know, relationships with men, you are, well, I don't know whether you're justified, but there's a legitimate reasons why you want to emasculate men. You don't like men being men. You want to shape them in a certain image of you as a woman, and you already have a problem right there, because you just want this one particular sex in the world, and there are uses, as I would say. I always say, you know, men have their uses in the world, and actually there are many of them.
that's very true. So when it comes to being husbands or fathers, etc., what would then be their true role within the family? And I think that's actually a few of the questions that's coming through on the SMS line now as well. And I just thought to summarize it, what should be the role of a male and a female? I'm sorry, of a father and a husband. Well, maybe Jackie.
Yeah.
being a newly married husband and all, you know.
This is important. This is important.
Oh, wait.
How do you define your own role? Really?
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Okay, well, you know, really interesting enough, you know, me and my father, we have, we have very deep conversations at times, you know, about sort of being a man. And one of the most important things that comes up is a sort of distinction between knowledge and wisdom. And he tells me that as a man, you know, I need to have that wisdom. I need to know when to say, I need to know when to say or how to control my emotions specifically. So I need to say when I need to do this and when I don't need to do this. Mm. So it comes to a point where it's like, you know, I have to sort of, I have to lead the family. I have to make the right decisions for the family and not based on my emotions, but based on, you know, rationality. And, you know, sometimes the thing is it doesn't actually work, you know, that well because, you know, men tend to sort of get angry when they get angry. So sometimes, you know, they show it. And, yeah, it's just one of those things with me and my father. You know, he teaches me that, you know, I always need to be wise about the decisions that I make. I always need to sort of, I need to be the one listening and never the one talking. You know, especially when in the family, when people, when other people are going through, you know, tough times, things like that, I'm always supposed to be the one who listens. And, you know, he's very much like that, you know, as a husband and as a father, you know, very to himself, very controlled, very and very strong when he needs to be. So I think, yeah, to a certain extent, that's some of the characteristics that you need to have as a husband.
Can I ask Kopano, what's your opinion on this one?
But, you know, I love this question for one particular reason, because what I'm witnessing right now is hearing, well, I'm an older man, right? Listening to a younger man trying to make sense about how to be this growing adult male, to be a father and all. Well, there's one word, really. For me, this looks simple when I say it. It's one word about what it means to be a father and to be a husband. It's called presence. Presence. Presence, in two words, the same word is being there. Being there all the time. Presence is an interesting word.
And we're not talking about gifts, eh?
No, not presence. Presence.
Being in the moment.
Because, you know, if your son or your daughter is talking to you and you're concentrating on the computer or work, you're not present. You're in a family and you're present. If you're drinking and you get drunk in your family, you are not there really. Part of you is there. The body is there. Mm. If you don't pay attention to what your kids do, what your partner does, this gratitude we talk, you are not there. Presence means being fully in the moment. Listening well, you spoke listening, doing what you need to do, fully to yourself, because if you're angry, And somebody, your son, your daughter said, or your mother or your father, if you live in the same family, or your brother, if they say something and it makes you angry, if you're not present to yourself, you will not say to them, look, I've just listened to you, and this makes me angry or makes me sad, actually, just, because you are not present, all kinds of stuff is. Presence is probably the first lesson, and you learn to be present. Most of us don't, other people call it mindfulness or whatever, but it's a simple thing. It's being present all the time to yourself, to others. Of course, it's a hard thing. You can't do it every day. But all the time, one remembers that, actually, I wasn't listening. I wasn't listening. I was concentrating on a piece of music. I was reading a book. But your daughter just came up to you and says, Dad, what does this mean? And you just dismiss it, and you're not... Okay.
Come back later.
Come back later. Mm-hmm. When you're present, and come back later must mean that. If you say come back later, when they come back later, then you're present. He says, okay, this... Actually, I don't know the answer, but maybe we Google it, and then we work from then on. Or let me read the text. Let me read, if you're Christian, the Bible, the Quran. Mm. Then you come back and says, this is... In my understanding, this is what means that. And when you don't know, you say that, I don't know. That's also part of being present.
Sure, quite interesting. Many requests for us to continue the discussion, because some saying, you know, it's a neglected topic. And I take note also of the questions that we didn't get to this program. We'll continue tomorrow, unfortunately, without Kopano. Maybe we can just link up with you. But Shahida, you very quickly, we've got 1 minute. You've got a group that you host for men. Very briefly, give us the details of it and how people can get in touch with you. Tomorrow we'll go into detail.
Well, I really like the listeners to like our Facebook page. And it is facebook.com/ and then it's MEN, men, and then EQ. So E and Q, so men EQ. So that's the Facebook page, or they can email me, sjansen@uwc.ac.za, or they can contact me by phone, 082-873-5475. So those are the contact details. But I just want to make a process comment, because I'm going to be very quick. Kopano was talking about gratitude as a man. And so I want to make a comment for me then sitting here in the studio listening to Jackie and Kopano talking as men. And just how nice it is for me to listen and to hear how they experience and how they feel. And so I think we need to, both parties need to, also sometimes I need to be quiet and I need to listen. And really listen, which is equally hard work as being present.
Yes, because as women, we just want to talk too much, eh? Double. Yeah. So we'll talk some more tomorrow and hoping to have you in studio. So Kopano Ratele, all the best for your professor at UNISA, masculinity specialist, Jackie Gadult, who is a postgrad psychology student, and Shahida Jansen, who has a special interest in male-focused personal transformation. Podcast available a bit late on Iono. Go to vocfm.iono.fm and download it under the general channel. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall be back with you tomorrow. Thank you so much for
your
time.
Thank you,
and from myself, Mishka Daris, and the team, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.